take a little time to be in the Word, okay? And let's go over to Romans chapter 3. I want you to go to Romans chapter 3. I'm kind of preach out of the box here just a minute. And unless somebody's going to go down, you got ladies want to go down and fix lunch while I do my sermon, you know? And we could do that. But I'm just going to do something a little different, okay? And so y'all can relax. Everything's okay. And simple things. And I want to go over some simple instructions about the salvation of the Lord. It just kind of seems to be a little bit. And then I'm going to pray the prayer that we always pray before communion. I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm still going to do that in just a moment, but I just wanted to look at a few things about what the Word says. It's so important that we be a people of the Word, and how people don't know the Word anymore. I mean, it's just such a church spirit has taken over, and church has become more like a club than it has about the living fellowship communion of the body of Christ. That's this churchy religious thing, you know, that everybody and their dog in the Bible Belt knows Jesus. Okay, I mean, it's very difficult to run into people that do not claim to have a church background. You know, the way it used to be was that, you know, well, that's what good people do, right? You know, we're not the bar crowd, right? You know, so we become the church crowd, right? And it really, in a lot of it, you know, there's just the added bonus is, it's got to do with me having some security about going to heaven when I die. You know, and that especially in the Bible Belt, I've pastored around a lot of places in a lot of states, and even though I'm from Owensboro, and so I know what it is to be outside the Bible Belt. And what culture is like, and it's really quite different. It's really quite different because not everybody is claiming to know Jesus. You know, like I said it, I think I said it to Kathy, or I said it to somebody. But you know, that one guy, he said, "Well, are you a Christian?" Well, of course I'm a Christian. You know, I'm an American, aren't I? You know, you're automatically a Christian if you're an American. I pastored up in Portland, Maine at one particular time. And, you know, very intellectual people up there, especially even in the church. Political conservatism was growing real strong at that particular point in time. And I got up, and in the middle of a message, I said, "Now let's just don't get confused and believe that if we have conservative values politically, that means that we're Christian. Because being Christian and having political conservative values are not necessarily the same thing." Well, I thought they was going to tar and feather me for having said such a thing as that. But there's a difference. There's a difference between conservatism and Christianity. And we need to understand that. And we need to get back to the Word and the truth of the Word. And like, for example, I just want to read right here that it says right here in Romans chapter 3. And these are very, very fundamental things that I know that you are aware of. In verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless." That means for righteousness. "And there is none who does good. There is not even one." You know, so, you know, this is the foundation of understanding that all men are sinners in need of a Savior. You know, we must be saved from our sins. And we can only be saved from our sins through the righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come before the Lord. And we need, you know, we've kind of done away with this even, you know, that, ooh, we're going to talk about sin? You know, we don't even talk about sin anymore in church. Oh, don't dare talk about, you know, someone being a sinner. You know what the lingo is now? It's pre-Christian. There's no sinners. They're pre-Christians. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I haven't found the terminology. You know, and I think we're going down a slippery slope. You know, when we are afraid to offend somebody for our faith, we are in bad trouble. We're in bad trouble. When we're trying to get everybody to accept Jesus and make it as easy as possible for them to accept Jesus, I tell you what, we may have blood on our hands. We may have blood on our hands because we're leading them into an easy believism that may not involve their whole heart. And I don't know about you, but I don't want any part of that. You know, that's why I'm not pushy. I'm plain, but I'm not pushy. You know, you make a decision. You have to make the decision. You have to make the decision for you and for you alone and for your heart alone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must give your heart to Him. You must give your heart, your whole heart to Him. And it's not a matter of having lip service or a knowledge of God. Isaiah says, you know, they draw near with their lips while their heart is far from me. And the church is full today because also the Bible talks about, you know, they will say in the last days, peace, peace, but there will be no peace. It's a false peace. It's a false peace that they hold on because people hold on to certain positions. You can hold on to any position that you want, but if you don't have any reality of the Holy Spirit of God and the power and the glory of that salvation, that position is not going to do you any good whatsoever when you stand before the presence of the Lord. This is not an intellectual thing. I'm not saying that your intellect is not involved. I'm not saying that there's not an intellectual understanding that is involved, but it's not the main thing, and nor is it the main focus. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's what's going on in the heart. And you're bearing fruit in your life based upon what's in your heart. It's not coming from your flesh. Your flesh is obeying your heart. And that's very clear. I won't take time to show that right now, but that's very, very clear. You know, many people have fallen, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm right with Jesus. Oh, I sure love Jesus, but I keep doing this right over here all of the time. Well, you need to come to the reality. No, that's not really true. It's because that is in your heart, and that's what you want to do, and that's why you're trapped in it, and that's why you can't get out of it until there's a change of heart. We have to be careful about what has our heart. You know, the Bible is very, very clear about the fact that, you know, that we got to guard ourselves from idols. You know, like, for example, can you mark that place right there, Romans, so you can come back to it quickly? And would you go to 1 John? I just want to read, you know, a particular scripture here for you and I that I think is very important. You know, so we need to be careful that we're not lulled asleep because of religious lingo. And whether that religious lingo is true or not, that just doesn't make us any difference. It does to a degree. But we don't need to make sure that we're not lulled asleep, right? Because, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, I mean, you just become so familiar, you know, that you can have that religious conversation, you can do that religious talk, but is there a reality of Jesus in your heart? Do you have a reality of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking with God? These are the greater questions. These are the greater questions. Look at this one right here. This comes in 1 John 5, and it says in verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. You know, what that means is that, you know, there is the difference between sin and sins. You know, we do not live in sins. We do not live a sinful life. That does not mean that I never sin, although I'm not planning on it. Are you with me there? I'm not planning on it. If you're planning on it, then you're going to be doing it and you've got no hope of ever getting out of it. You know, it's that old thing is that, you know, well, now you know we all sin there, Brother Ron. What in the world has that got to do with it whatsoever? All you have done is confess your defeat, confess your failure, and really confess your apathy of remaining where you are. Real believers hate sin. And the sin they hate the most are the ones that come after them. Right? Because that's having a heart after Jesus. So it's not saying that we don't sin, but we don't live a life of sin. We don't live a life of sin. I'm not saying, I mean, you know, you can throw 1,000 scenarios out there that one wants to throw out. That's okay. You know, we're not talking about, you know, you doesn't backslide. But I'm going to tell you, if you're living in a backslide state, you better not take comfort in any of it. So we don't live in sin, but we do practice repentance. I love repentance. I'm just telling you, I love repentance. Matter of fact, the righteous really, truly live in repentance. You know, it's those that, you know, that don't really walk with the Lord that repent occasionally. They just repent occasionally. And then when they do repent, they only repent of the big stuff. Do you know what I mean? You know, that's the only time they think about repentance is the big stuff, you know. But yet, you know, those that love the Lord have a sensitive heart to the Holy Spirit of God. They have a sensitive heart that they want to walk with the Lord. They have a sensitive heart that they want to be pleasing to the Lord. They, you know what they will do? You know what they will do? They'll even repent of things they didn't do because they simply had the thoughts or the attitude. Matter of fact, as you grow up in Jesus, you'll be repenting more of thoughts and attitudes than you will be of actions. That ought to be happening. It's when you're a babe in Jesus that you walk after those actions, and you don't remain a babe all of the days of your Christian life. You don't have to go back to the bar to be backslidden. You can be right here every Sunday and become backslidden. Because it's the heart. It's the heart. And so we need to be aware of that. We press onward and upward in Jesus. This is the mentality. We press onward and we press upward in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're satisfied and happy in Jesus with an element of dissatisfaction. You know, thank you, Jesus, for what you've given me. Oh, but give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Oh, thank you for feeding my soul. Oh, Lord God. But oh, I'm still hungry. How hungry are you today? You just want to keep on going upward and higher in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is the way of the righteous. This is the way of those in Jesus that walk in Jesus, walk in fellowship, walk in a right spirit. So then it goes on and says in verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God, now look at this, has come and has given us, now look at this, understanding. Do you remember me? And I'm going to mention it a lot of times because It's so important for us to understand. I gave you this statement to you some time back. I've mentioned it before, that visionary understanding produces revelatory authority when planted in the fertile soil of expectation of faith. Now, I'm going to break it down more and more as time goes by. But this understanding, you know, we're aware of the evil one. Why? Because the Lord has given us understanding. You know, well, we're not taken back. We're not walking in darkness as to what's going on in the world. I mean, time is winding down and Jesus' return is coming soon. I don't know when Jesus is coming, and he's always put it in the heart of his church in every generation to live as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, because he may be. He just may be. Now, we know for sure that the Word of God says that he's going to come at a time when we least expect it. You know, and what that's calling for, it's calling for living in a heart and a spirit of readiness. That we're ready in the Lord. Now, I'm careful with how I live my life. We don't live like the people of the world. We don't live like the people of the world. You know, we're not all tied up, you know, in comfort and amusements, especially if you're an American, especially in our country. You know, what holds many churches together, you know, is amusements, trinkets, and entertainment. Amusements, trinkets. I'm not your pastor if you're wanting trinkets, entertainment, and the such. I'm just not the guy. We need the reality and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a price to be paid for that to come upon the church of God and the saints of God. But I think it was spoken somewhere, but that will happen and that will come. We have to press on and we have to press in. And if we're unwilling as a church to press on and press in, then it won't happen. We'll just be whatever we'll be. I'm sorry I'm so blunt. But do you understand? Do you understand? I want the reality. I think you do too. I got to have it. I'm sorry. I got to have it. I just got to have it. I can't have anything less than the reality or the fullness. And if I've got some, oh, I want more, right? I want more, just like I said, because we remain hungry. We remain hungry in Jesus. You know, that's the remnant church. That's the remnant church that's going to be watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. And when Jesus appears, they're not going to be those that want to have the rocks to fall upon them or to try to find a hole that you can crawl in real quick so you can get away from the presence of the Lord. No, we won't be those. We'll stand up and we'll be looking at him face to face. And we'll have no condemnation on us in any form or any fashion because we were watching and waiting and we were ready. We didn't know what day that he was coming, but we were watching and waiting and we were ready for the presence of the Lord. Well, I've got to finish this up. Let's read on. I'm just going to read a few more things, and that's verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he's given us understanding in order that we might know him. Look at this, who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Look at verse 21. I find 21 to be very sobering. Verse 21 says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Wow. That's right. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. We're to walk in a way that we keep our heart for Jesus. And there's always something trying to come in and take it away from you. And what is trying to come in and take it away from you is not necessarily a bad thing in itself. You know, asking that question, well, is it sin? It may not look like it on the outside, but for you it might be. It depends if it's got your heart. Are you with me there? I'll tell a story. I'm going to let you go. I've debated forever about telling this story. You're not going to like it. It's my story, so I get to say what it says. Doesn't have anything to do with you. I'm not telling you this is the way God works in you at all. This is my story. Okay? I used to love the bird hunt. I got such fond memories. When I say bird hunt, I'm talking about quail. Okay? There's hardly any quail around, but there used to be abundance of it. Okay? My dad was a big bird hunter. We always had bird dogs. I was raised with bird dogs. Always had bird dogs, you know. My dad and his brothers were big bird hunters. I was raised on it, you know. I think the first loaded gun that I ever had carrying around, you know, in the field, in the woods, I think I was probably 9 years old, you know. Used to, you know, we're bird hunting, right? But my daddy, he taught us to hunt with a 410 shotgun. Can you imagine, you know, a 410 shotgun bird hunting? You better be good, you know. Really, it's got a squirrel gun more than it is anything else, right? You know, it pattern's not very big, okay? It's not a 12-gauge nor a 20-gauge. Anyway, I got really wonderful memories of my dad and my brother because that's the only thing we ever did together, you know? And Dad was a real quiet man, didn't talk much or anything like that, didn't show his emotions, didn't show any feelings. But Dad would kind of turn into a different person out in the field, you know, just a little bit. You know, and Bob and I, my brother, we would get to see a little bit of Dad, you know, at that point in time. So I got such treasured memories, you know, and things that happened and all that. I could talk here for a long time about that. I won't. Well, there was a guy here that used to own grocery stores around here, a big, powerful man, you know, Wendell Taylor. Well, he loved to field trial bird dogs. And he ended up with some bird dogs that didn't have papers on them. My brother and I, man, we heard about it. We went out to see Wendell, you know, and we said, oh, you know, what do you got here, you know? And there, we bought two bird dog pups. Now, my dad always, he used little English setters, long-haired English setters. Well, these were short-haired pointers. Micah and Mandy was their name. You know, Micah was liver and white. Mandy was unusual. Mandy was black and white with a little bit of gray, you know, on her. Very unusual. My brother and I, we brought those dogs home, and you know, my dad, well, he just had a fit, you know. I mean, first of all, they weren't the right kind of bird dog. And then the second thing is that we got two of them. Well, we took care of them. We raised them. Make a long story short, Mandy, oh, she was something else. She was the dog of a lifetime. She was a dog of a lifetime. You know, the old saying is that, you know, a hunter ends up with, you know, with one great bird dog all his life. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that's always been said. She was it. There was no question about it. She was it. I made a mistake. Love the Lord. Pastoring, right? I did my duty. I did everything I was supposed to do. In my heart, I took a break from God. It was hunting season. I had the greatest dog I ever saw in my life. Natural. Hardly any training. 6 months old, she was pointing. You know, at 6 months old, anybody that has been hunting, at 6 months old, she was backing points. You know, that's where the old dog is pointing. and she is clear across the field, and she sees the old dog. Instead of running in and trying to get in front of the old dog, she stops dead on a point right there. You know, I just used to love to see when they get on one of those strong points where you could knock them down, and their whole body is just trembling, you know, they're just trembling on that point. It's a beautiful thing. It's the all of God. I made a mistake. I gave my heart to hunting season. This is my story, right? Can't anybody be upset with my story? I had God talk to me occasionally, but I wasn't really paying much attention. Of course, you look back and you say, yeah, God was talking, wasn't he? All right? Yeah. Idols. Ooh. Sure did enjoy her. We got out on a lonely road. When I talk about a lonely road, I'm talking about Podunk Holler, okay? I'm talking about Podunk Holler, all right? I'm talking about a lonely road. I'm not talking about a busy road, you know, anything. I'm talking about a lonely road. I mean, you know, you could lay out in the middle of the road and ain't nobody come there and run over you, you know, for probably hours at a time in the middle of nowhere. Micah was there. Mandy was there. My dad's dog. We had a buddy. He had a couple of bird dogs. And they's all running together. You know, we got up birds, you know, everybody shoots. And the dogs, you know, really get excited, you know, and they're going around. And you know, Mandy was also a wonderful retriever, you know, at the same time. And she didn't, you know, eat birds, you know. I mean, wasn't a print. You sometimes have a problem with a bird dog. They bite down too hard when they bring in that bird back to you, you know. And just as gentle. You could reach down, put your hand underneath her chin, and she'd drop that bird. I've had where I've had to pry them out of the mouth of the dog before, you know, but not with Mandy. Mandy just dropped that bird right there in your hands. We had birds down everywhere. We had dogs running around retrieving and everything like that. It was a little chaotic, right, because there was about five of us all together. I looked down the road. I just took a glance. And there was a car coming down that road. He's pretty far away. He kept getting closer. I wasn't paying attention to him. I wasn't on the road. That car kept coming. I looked up. Not just me. And then down a ditch. And here comes Mandy running as hard as she could run. Here comes that car, keeps getting closer. And he hit everybody at the same time. My dad starts yelling. I started yelling. My brother started yelling. Our buddy started yelling. Mandy! Mandy! Girl. He was all just yelling up a storm. I couldn't have yelled any louder. Here comes Mandy on the ditch running as hard as she could run. Right here, here comes that car. And they intersected at the perfect time. You talk about freakish. It was freakish. I can't talk for you. I can talk for me. God was demanding me, no idols in your life. No idols in your life. No rivals in your life. You don't lay me down for a season, then take me up later. It's called the jealous heart of God. You don't have to believe in it, but you might want to study it. come back in, I come home, I got alone in the bedroom and just wept before God. I was weeping for a lot of reasons. I was weeping over the loss of Mandy. But more than that, I was weeping over, I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, Lord, what I've done. I put hunting, I put that dog, I put all of it before you. Not like turn away from God. I hadn't turned away from God. No, I wasn't going to, hey, this was the season of all seasons, right? Mandy had reached maturity. She had learned. Oh, she was good. Oh, she was a joy. Mandy was gone. Now, you do with it what you want. But I know what happened. I know what happened. You go read in Hebrews about that God disciplines those whom he loves. And I won't tell you how he will discipline you, but I will tell you that if you love Jesus, he didn't want you to have any idols in your heart before him. I kept telling Beatrice, I got to tell this story. She's like, I'm not really sure you should do that. She always gives me wise advice. I was like, okay, I don't know what people are going to think about stuff like that, you know. I'm sorry, it's my story. I know what happened. And I know what my God did. Can I tell you the end of the story now? I never held on to any, praise God, this is where I stand. I never held on to any idols from that point forward. And I had a fear of God of anything becoming an idol in my heart. I had a real fear of God of anything becoming an idol in my heart. Fear of the Lord's good. You don't hear that much anymore, but that's called a good term, okay? All right, here we go. If you haven't given your whole heart to Jesus, I'm talking about your whole heart. I'm not talking about a little bit of your heart, some of your heart, even mostly of your heart. And what are you holding on to? Oh, what are you holding on to? Are you holding on to anything? This is the day that you surrender it, that you give it up, that you let go of it. Because what he has in store for you is a whole lot better than whatever you're getting out of that, no matter what it might be. He is a lot better. He is a lot more. And he's more great. He's more wonderful than anything that you would ever try to hold on to. This is the continual fight of the righteous till the day that we go on and be with the Lord. You never come to the place to where you're not guarding yourself. That's what the word says. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. You know, we'd never come to the place to where we don't realize that there's things that want to come into our heart. And usually the way the devil works is that he wants it to be real subtle. He wants it to be real subtle. No one can see it. It doesn't mean that you change your activities on the outward. Oh, you're still going to church every Sunday or whatever it would be. It hasn't got anything to do with that. It's got everything to do with your heart. Your heart. And Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, I give my whole heart to you. I confess you as my Savior and my Lord. I belong to you all the days of my life. I present myself to be the servant of the Lord. Have my heart. Fill my heart, be the Lord of my heart, and be glorified in my life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you for your patience. You can tell one another howdy doody and bless you as we leave, okay? God bless.